Yeah, so as I understand it, we are talking about impactful images that have had a lasting impression on us, or we think on science. And I always remember those graphs of the burst of CO2 that have come to be known as the Birch effect after H.F. Birch, who first published this work in 1956 and 1958 in Nature and in Plant and Soil, two pretty good journals. This is what it looked like at the time. I never did find his first name. I don't know if it's Henry or Harold, but he did work for a time. He was a chemist in the colonial days and worked for about 10 years in the East African Agriculture and Forestry Research Organization in Kikuyu, Kenya. So pretty high up, pretty high organic matter, nice soils. This was kind of an interesting little diagram that he published in 1956 in the journal Nature. That was the diagram, sort of hand-drawn. Pretty clever non-digital instrument to measure soil respiration in the lab. And one of the problems, of course, you have if you're doing an incubation in a closed vessel is that the organisms are using up the oxygen, which is what he wanted to measure, and they're producing carbon dioxide, which would eventually poison the system. So he had a mechanical, chemical method of replenishing the oxygen with sulfuric acid. As the pressure went down, this little rod got in contact with a copper wire, and it reacted and produced oxygen to replenish the oxygen, and the CO2 got absorbed by sodium hydroxide so that the gas balance remained constant in the chamber, and he was just measuring the use of oxygen. And using this chamber, which apparently could run 14 samples at a time, he would take soil samples in, and he was studying it in an environment in this part of Kenya and in much of Africa. You have rains in the rainy season, and then you have no rains in the dry season. In fact, some places there's a short rainy season, but there are long periods of no rain at all, hot, dry weather, and the soil gets very dry. So this might be for a couple of months, or it might be as long as 6 or 7 months. So the soil gets very dry. And what he observed is that when the soil dries, as soon as you re-wet it, there's a burst of activity. This is what the Solvita soil health test is based on, and a lot of other work we're doing. This was the graph over on the left that I've always had in my mind that, boy, as soon as water hits a dry soil, things happen. He measured these very high rates of CO2 coming off, and then they would go down as the soil dried, and then if you added water again, they'd pop back up again. So it's predicting the amount of CO2 coming out of an ecosystem is actually a lot more complex than just talking about what's the moisture level and what's the temperature, which is what our current models do, by the way. I don't think they take this into account. This is his data from the field, bringing samples in, and you can see that every time it rained, including that one, quote, heavy shower, created a very high levels of carbon mineralization coming off. This was a soil of 6% carbon, so a pretty nice soil. He sampled them all at a high moisture content. And he also looked at nitrogen, and this was actually the more practical side of this, was when did the nitrogen get released by mineralization, a well-known effect throughout Africa and any of the parts of the world that have long dry seasons. This was his original table. I thought that this was quaint, let us say. The units he used to report this in were pounds of sulfate of ammonia per acre 6 inches. This was in 1958. For those of you who don't know, that fertilizer kwasukar is this sugar-looking-like compound, which is ammonium sulfate, granular, at the time was a very popular fertilizer. So that was the units he chose. A little hard to see the trends here in the data. He is comparing the amount of time. I don't know if the arrow works here. Does it? No? Okay. He was comparing the amount of time, and I don't see a pointer. In weeks, how long did he allow the soils to dry? And then he also looked at different soils at different amounts of carbon. So I actually took his data, put it in a graphing program, and came up with this. And you can see that there was, this is not the way he explained it, but both the initial carbon level of the soil had a big impact. So the higher the organic matter, the bigger the burst of mineralization and release of nitrate, and also the drying time. So the longer the soil was dried, the bigger the impact, and this was an interactive impact, so the high organic matter soils dried for a long time had the highest rates of nitrogen release and were the most fertile soils then. We see these things repeated in our research decades and decades, more than half a century later, in all kinds of research. I thought that this diagram was just the perfect Birch effect, and in fact, the Birch effect is mentioned in the title of the paper. That's what led me to it. This is completely different kind of work, but studying the same phenomena in a Mediterranean forest, again, a dry, wet system, using eddy covariance towers, so a modern gas greenhouse gas emission kind of study, and seeing the very same effects when they have, this is a single rainfall event there, you can see a tremendous burst of activity, which you wouldn't get if you were just looking at what is the carbon release rate at a given moisture content and used averages. So this initial activity is much greater than the steady state rate. Somewhat even more interesting paper was a recent paper from just a couple of years ago, Mary Firestone, and I'm not sure who Placella is, perhaps one of her students, I probably should know who that is, did this work in a metagenomic study, again looking at nitrifying response to soil wetting, and they found that the ammonium monooxidase subunit A transcripts from ammonia oxidizing bacteria, they also looked at archaea and others, but this is for the bacteria, increased significantly within an hour of wet up. So they were able to measure more transcripts, and they concluded that these rapid increases were not due to the multiplication of bacteria, more cells, but rather to the upregulation of the genes. So lots of things happening, and I think only recently is birch getting his due. Those of us who work in Africa have known about the birch effect forever. But it's only recently getting into the ecological literature all around, and I just did a quick Google search on papers mentioning the birch effect, and you can see that they sort of puttered along during the decades after his work, but in the last decade, from 2006 to 2015, more than 100 papers a year talked about the birch effect, and the past year is given there is about 200 already, So he's finally being appreciated. And if anybody knows his first name, I would love to know whether it's Henry Harold or whatever it is. Okay, thank you. Was that anywhere near?
Yeah.